There are many allusions to the month of Elul that are found in different psukim in the Chumash. Anilu Dodi v'Dodi Li Aroeb Shoshanim from Shir HaShirim is perhaps the most famous. Another one that's found in the Perek Kaf Aleph of Parashat Mishpatim is the law of the Ir Miklat, the city of refuge of one who kills by accident, is able to run to the city of refuge to take refuge. Pasuk says, "Vasher lo tzeda v'elokim ina liyado v'samti lecha makom asher yanush shama ina liyado v'samti lecha v'rashei tevos elul." And as we've spoken about in the past, we need to understand what is the connection between the Ir Miklat, a city of refuge, and the month of Elul. Thank God people don't go around killing others, even accidentally. It's such a common phenomena. How can we understand the correlation between Chodesh Elul and killing by accident? The approach I'd like to take in Yirtzeh Hashem today to try to have an understanding of what Chodesh Elul is about is a very interesting medrash on the pasuk in the beginning of Parshas Achrei Mos. Rav Freifeld, in his Sefer In Search of Greatness, brings down the medrash. The pasuk says, "Bizos yavo Aaron el HaKodesh." With this, Aaron shall come to the holy place. Now we know the plain meaning of the pasuk, "Bizos," with this, is with a pan of incense that he carried with him. But the Chachamim try to understand even more deeply. What is this bezot? Quoting Rav Freifeld, "But the Chachamim, the Medrash, and Vayikra Rabbah zero in on these words and discover layers of meaning that give us a key to breaking free from the morass of our material existence. There is a way, they said, for a person to come to a holy place. There is a way for the neshama that is embedded in the body, that is welded to the body, to arrive at a pure spiritual clarity that is called Kodesh, that is called holy." And this is what the Medrash struggles with. Bizos yavo Aaron. What is the formula? What is the zot that you can come el HaKodesh, to the level of holiness, to the world of the spirituality? So if you look in the Medrash, you'll see the Chachamim very excited about this. This is a person who's locked in a dark and gloomy cave, and he gropes around, and someone comes along and says, "Here, here's the secret." The Chachamim and the Medrash offer quite a number of interpretations. We're going to share three, the first two briefly, and the third, Im Yirtzeh Hashem, will be our focus for today. The first opinion, one opinion in the Medrash, or three, it's Bezos is a reference to Shabbos. A person can elevate himself from the world of the profane and reach the level of Kedusha through the experience of Shabbos. If you have a genuine Shabbos experience, he is saying, you'll perceive a crack and you'll be able to see that the cloud of darkness that stirs over us, that sits over us, will be a little bit broken, and you'll be able to perceive a different sphere and a different dimensional existence. Whether it was the example of the Usher of a Rebbe he brings, who sat all Shabbos and didn't speak and didn't sleep because of the Kedusha of Shabbos, he was in a different dimension. Or the practice that Yidim have before putting a morsel of food in their mouth, Lichvot Shabbos Kodesh, that's not just regular food, it's food that is elevated for Shabbos. Whether it is our Shabbos table, which is dramatically different than the entire week, wherein the entire family sits down to eat. There's Divrei Torah, there's singing, the food is different. There's something qualitatively about Shabbos, which is a different experience. Bizos yavo Aaron, a person wants to experience Kedusha, and particularly in Chodesh Elul, to be able to have the experience of Kedusha, Shabbos is a way to tap in to this aspect of Kedusha. Obviously, there's a lot to talk about Shabbos. I'd like to mention perhaps one nekuda in regard to Shabbos. The Matan Chaim, Ramat Yisrael Salomon, quotes a famous piyut of Lecha Dodi, where in it we say, Likrat Shabbos lechu v'neucha, toward Shabbos let's go and greet her. Ki hi, because it, the greeting of Shabbos, the preparation of Shabbos, he, it is mekor habracha, v'abracha hi kefi hachana, to the extent that one prepares for Shabbos Kodesh, to the extent that one invests before Shabbos in Shabbos, to that extent one will be able to access the Mekor HaBracha, the wellspring of blessing. And he continues and he explains that perhaps this is hinted at in the fact that we begin Kiddush and not with the words Vayachulu HaShamayim, but rather Yom HaShishi. It was on the sixth day. Yom HaShishi is a reference to the Friday. Mishitarach Be'erev Shabbos, Yochal B'Shabbos. There's an aspect of Yom HaShishi, there's an aspect of the preparation of Shabbos which is intrinsically connected to Shabbos itself. And this is perhaps explains how we normally understand that the two mitzvahs of Shabbos, of Zachor V'Shamor, Zachor of keeping all the positive mitzvahs of Shabbos, Shamor, guarding ourselves from the negative, are both applicable during the week. Zachor, if you find something special, you say, this food will be for Shabbos Kodesh. This dress will be for Shabbos Kodesh. We say every day, Hayom Yom Rishon L'Shabbos Kodesh. We prepare for Shabbos. But you also have an aspect of Shamor. Vaviv Shamor, Tadavar explains to Masisyo, and his father guarded. There's an inyan of guarding Shabbos by anticipating its coming. As Yaakov Avinu anticipated, when will this dream come true? By anticipating the Shabbos every day, every hour on Erev Shabbos, you're being mekayim the Shamor at Yom HaShabbos, being able to guard, to wait anxiously for Shabbos to come. And I think, my friends, on a very practical level, one of the things that we should work on in this tkufa of Yamim Noraim, of Elul, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and halavai that we should be able to take weiter, is this idea of the shamor, of the anticipation of Shabbos, of being able to bring in Shabbos earlier into our homes. I really felt personally, Sefziata Dishmaya, when I thought about the summer, this particular piece, and wanting to teach this piece of preparing ourselves by bringing in Shabbos early. We had the schus of going to a kenes, a conference for the Sibur during the 9 days on Shmiras Halasha. And someone handed one of my daughters a pamphlet in Hebrew, and it was all about bringing in Shabbos early. And I felt like that was almost like a stamp in Shemayim, indeed Shira, this is what you should speak about. That was Monday night. Thursday night, we had the schus of going to Rebbetzin Koldesky for a Frosh Eschala and for a Bracha. And therein was the same pamphlet, which is what I photocopied in front of us, selections of it, in English. And unlike Rebbetzin Koldesky, usually comes in with her big, wide smile and begins with a Bracha of a Frosh Eschala. Here, she spent 10, 15 minutes talking about the importance of bringing in Shabbos 10 minutes earlier. And then that wasn't just a stamp, that was a seal that indeed, as I felt me as Shemayim, that this is something for us as a tzibur, us as a community worldwide, that this is something we need to pay more attention to. And in this pamphlet, it speaks about Likrat Shabbos. There's a special mitzvah in the Torah to bring in Shabbos early. The Gemara states it's a mitzvah to greet the Shabbos as early as possible. The Rambam writes, in Hilchos Shabbos, it's a mitzvah to honor the Shabbos. And how does one show honor to the Shabbos? By eagerly anticipating its arrival. Our early sages would gather the disciples there of Shabbos, and together they would proclaim, come, let us go greet toward the Shabbat Queen. L'chu v'neucha, likrat Shabbos, l'chu v'neucha. And he quotes here, the Ben Ish Chai states that Am Yisrael merit wealth and blessing by bringing in Shabbos early. The Holy Rebbe of Lekovitz states that the impact of Shabbos is so strong, It cannot be concentrated into this world of materialism. It can relate only to matters of spirituality such as Torah study, Tefillah, Avodas Hashem. From where then do we obtain all the physical blessings afforded by the Shabbat? These come in the merit of bringing in Shabbat earlier. The earlier we bring it in, the more blessing we draw upon ourselves. He would end with a sigh, if people would only listen to me and add on time to Shabbat, they would see success in their business all week long. This pamphlet then goes through in many different arenas. Financial security. You expand the borders of the Kedusha of Shabbos, of the holiness of Shabbos. God will expand your borders by bringing in more blessing into your material wealth. In Shiduchim, we know that the Shabbos is called the bride. You go out to greet the bride, you will be able to meet your intended in that schus, in that merit. It is well known that the family of Reb Chaim Kanievsky attests to hundreds of instances of people who succeeded in finding their match as a result of bringing in the Shabbos early, as well as Zereshal Kayama, having children, bringing in the schus of bringing in Shabbos early. Marital harmony, shalom bayis, whole idea of peace into the home, bring in Shabbos early. When we have our table set, ideally Thursday night, but for sure by Chatzot on Shabbos, by midday Friday, when we have everything in place, and then we don't rush, you know, when it's licht, oh, 4:58, okay, 4:57 and 30 seconds, I have 30 more seconds to finish putting stuff on the block, okay, I'm over a minute, no big deal, but no. We enter into Shabbos early. We take in Shabbos 10 minutes early. The Sefer Mishmeres Shalom suggested 11, that one should say, I am hereby bringing in the Shabbos early, as Hashem commanded us to add from the weekday to the Shabbos. Ribono Shel Olam, allow me to merit observing Shabbos appropriately and do complete tshuva. It's admirable to dress in Shabbos clothing before lighting the candles, and should proceed lighting the candles with giving a few coins to Stucca. I'll just add personally that I tried this before, you know, you try to practice what you preach, not always successful, but we try. And we've had this chus, we don't bring it in early, you can only bring in Shabbos from Plag Min Hanan. That's why if you take in Shabbos early, you have to really look at a calendar, when is the earliest you can bring it in. But bringing in Shabbos, normal time, we had the schus of bringing in Shabbos the last 2 weeks, a half hour early. And it was incredible how even the girls were able to say Shabbos feels different when you start Shabbos early. It's the same Shabbos. It's an entirely different Shabbos. The Mekor HaBracha, the wellspring of blessing, enters into your home like geyser in a dramatically different way. B'zos yavo amor ne lakodesh. With this, Aaron will walk into the holy, with the schus of Shabbos, with the schus of Yom HaShishi, Likra Shabbos L'chuvanelcha, Kihi Mekor HaBracha. Idea number one, take in Shabbos 10 minutes early, a few minutes early, and be able to feel that expansiveness and that koach, that power of blessing. Another opinion, source 12, going back to Rav Freifeld in the Medrash Bezos, is referring to learning Torah. And this is understood that the enlightenment of Torah enables a person to be able to enter into the Kodesh. We know that although the man's obligation in 13, the Code of Jewish Conduct, encompasses all parts of Torah, including those areas that are not relevant to him in practice, nevertheless, there's an added value to learning with the intention of applying the knowledge. Women, on the other hand, have no such all-encompassing obligation. Nevertheless, if she's motivated to study Torah, she'll be rewarded. Just anyone who does the mitzvah is not required to do is rewarded. However, women do have as their own obligation in Torah learning. They are responsible to learn and know clearly all the halachas related to the mitzvahs on which they're obligated, which includes almost all mitzvahs lo taseh, the negative ones, and all the non-time related positive commandments, as well as the mitzvahs d'rabbanan. So she will know how to observe the Torah laws properly. So if you would think about how much women need to know, you could manage spend a lifetime plus of 120 years learning the halacha of what women need to know. And women are obligated in Yiras Shamayim, the learning of Musar, the learning of Machshava, a philosophical text of moral dictates on how to behave as a person. And that's why women have a chiyuv in saying Birkas HaTorah, because we do have this aspect of learning. I will note here the Maharal in 14 in his Drush al Torah explains perhaps on a deeper level why the women's obligation in learning is different from the man. He says, women are not obligated to engage in deep Torah study. He portrays the male character as being inherently restless and active, and therefore less receptive to tranquility and peace that characterizes Olam Haba, which is the epitome of restfulness. Therefore, men need to toil in Torah continuously, night and day, in order to achieve this readiness for spiritual peace. Women, on the other hand, are intrinsically ready for and receptive to tranquility of Olam Haba, since they were not born with this drive for action and arousal. For this reason, the intensive toiling at Torah is not necessary to help them reach their spiritual perfection. Nevertheless, throughout the generations, we see great women who study, whether it's Bruria, the wife of Rabbi Meir, Yalta, the wife of Rabbi Nachman. The Gra wrote to his wife that his daughters should devote their Shabbases to learning books of Musar and Jewish thought. The Chasam Sofer was said to have learned the Agaditas of Chazal with his daughter. And Rav Yosef Chaim Zonenfeld had a regular learning session with his wife for a half hour each day in Shulchan Aruch HaRachayim, which is the basic halacha of how to live our lives daily, halacha as well as Shabbos and Yontif. My friends, Chodesh Elul, as well as something to take on for even beyond Chodesh Elul, is to be able to take a few minutes each day and dedicate it to Limud HaTorah. We should feel, as the Tiva Moadim, Rav Gamliel points out, that just like if a person doesn't eat for a whole day, they feel weak, we should feel the same way about learning. If we don't learn for one day, we should feel weak. I think it's imperative that B'zos Yavo Aaron HaLakodesh, we can access Kedusha. We need to feel the imperative to access Kedusha. That even if we have a daily learning, we should add. If we don't have one, we should make one. No matter how busy we are, it could be, and it should be the same 5 minutes, otherwise you'll just lose track of time. 5 minutes is too much, 3 minutes. To take a Musar Sefer, to take a Halacha Sefer, Hilchos Shabbos. There's so many books in English on Hilchos Shabbos. Learn two halachos, two ideas. You will see that over time, you'll suddenly start saying, wow, I never knew that. Gee, take something small. Take Hilchos Borer. How are you allowed to separate clothing on Shabbos, silverware on Shabbos, your books, your games, your toys? What is Borer? What's not Borer? Something small. Learn 3 minutes each day. You have been able to consecrate this time and yourself to a different dimension of Kedusha. 3 minutes when you finish davening in the morning, have that sefer by your sitter. Have it by your night table before you go to sleep, wherever it is. Your coffee in the middle of the day, for those who have that luxury. Bring it to work in your coffee break. This is what you learn. This is B'zos Yavo Aaron El HaKodesh. But then, my friends, I'd like to focus, Amir Tzashem, now on the other opinion that's brought in the Medrash. Source 17, Rav Freifeld continues. And then there's the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan. He says one word, the Kavritin. What does this mean? It means a captain. The word Karbanit is Aramaic for a captain of a ship. That's it, one word. The way to come to Kodesh, according to Rabbi Yochanan, is being a captain. What does this mean? So there's another statement of Rabbi Yochanan elsewhere who says, a person should always approach a mitzvah by viewing himself as a captain. And the commentators struggle with this. One of the commentators suggests that a person should view himself as a ship sailing through on the edge of doom through a stormy night. He must keep his hands steady on the helm as he navigates to avoid disaster. But there obviously has to be even more to what it means to be a captain. Look, Rabbi Yochanan knew how the others had understood the implication of the word. They were addressing how a person that lives in a world of chol, a profane world, could come to the Kodesh. We understand this so well. We're in a world of darkness that contaminates our soul. I understand how Shabbos brings enlightenment. I understand how Torah brings a spiritual enlightenment. But to be a captain of the ship? What's pshat? So he says, this, I believe in 18, is the key for Rabbi Yochanan to say. Life presents people with all manner of personal responsibilities. Wherever you turn, wherever you go, there are decisions and choices to be made, and you have the responsibility for them. According to the commands of the Almighty, everything falls into three categories. Mitzvos, aveiros, and what you're permitted to do. But that's just on the surface. It's true you don't get a mitzvah for eating or an aveira for not eating, but there's no such thing as a neutral action. Every human being has a responsibility to be a person. And if we take this responsibility seriously, it will change the way we live and think. Everything we do, every minute thing has implication, ramification. Every single thing impacts on our responsibility to ourselves to be a person. Life is full of responsibilities, but the average individual doesn't see the possibilities. Most of us don't want to face responsibilities. Many of us don't understand the responsibilities. Not to face them, not to understand, even to intentionally turn our heads away from them, that kind of living takes us away from the sanctity of life, from the responsibilities that bring us to the Kodesh. A person has to look at themselves as a captain of his own life, which means you have to pay attention to every detail of its existence and take responsibility for it. The less a person views himself as a captain of his life, the more he turns away from the responsibilities, and the more he is diminished and distanced from the Kodesh. My friends, this imagery of a ship, the imagery of water, particularly water that's very tumultuous in nature, that's very stormy, is out of our control. And there's so much in life that is out of our control. We would all like to have a smooth sailing life. There's no guarantee for that. But there is one thing that we are in control of. The weather conditions, the conditions, how choppy the waters are, how placid the waters are out of our hands. But how we control the ship, how we are able to hold on and make those decisions. Do I stay on this course or do I change course? And then I take responsibility for those decisions that are made. That is being the captain of our lives. And I'll tell you, my friends, what I've seen, and this has come up in so many discussions that I've had with others, that we are raising a door, we're raising a generation that lacks this ability of taking responsibility. It's not my fault, it's their fault. What do you want from me? I'm blaming on this one, blaming on that one. And they're not able to take that feeling of, let me make a decision and live with it. You see this so often. We've spoken about this before, of what the positives and negatives of students who come for the year with a cell phone. So it's beautiful that you're in contact with your parents and you are able to develop a long-distance relationship is great. But when it comes to this area of lack of responsibility, it falls short. Where you have students who call up their parents and say, should I go here for Shabbos or should I go there? Should I bring candy or should I bring flour? Should I take a 12 o'clock bus or 1 o'clock bus? You are the captain of your ship if you can't make decisions like this at 18, 19 years old, and you need to call your parents for everything. How are you going to make major decisions in your life, Ribono Shel Olam? Make a decision. Live with that decision. Be able to handle the consequences of that decision. That is being a person who's the captain of their life. But it's much more than that, my friends. What Rav Freifeld is talking about is that someone who's the captain of his own life makes sure that every word he says and every smallest of his actions is carefully considered and fully consistent. It brings the Maisa and 20 of Rav Simcha Sissel of Kelm, the great Baal Musar, who's going with another Rav and they're traveling, and they stop by each time this particular inn. This, and Rav Simcha Zissel is talking with the innkeeper's wife about the cows and the milk, and this other Rav is sitting and learning a sefer. And when she excuses herself for a number of minutes, Rav Simcha Zissel turns to this other Rav and says, "You're a gazlan, you're a thief. Thief, I haven't stolen anything." He says, "Don't you understand that she comes here and she treats us with such respect because she thinks we're big people? How can we repay her for her kindness and hospitality? We can be friendly. We can listen to what she has to say with at least a semblance of interest. So what do you think? Now's the time to sit and learn?" That's a person who's a captain of the ship. That's a person who understands. He brings here about a father who comes to Reb Freifeld to complain to him that his son is learning in yeshiva, and the Rebbe calls his son a dummy. A dummy? Every boy that comes into his class is his responsibility. It's responsible to call a boy a dummy? I had similarly an incident a few weeks ago where a woman came to me with an issue with her 17-year-old son, and she was telling me that her son was going to be in the principal's class. He was the Rebbe for the 12th grade class. And she said, "I don't know what to do. My son doesn't want to change classes." But at the back-to-school night, the principal came over to me and my husband in front of my son and said to us, "This child is the most difficult child I've ever taught. There is no hope for him." Could you imagine a principal saying this to parents in front of the child? And then she's asking me, "Can I put my child in this Rebbe's class for the entire year?" Where is responsibility for what we say? 22, you're responsible for how you speak to your wife, how you speak to your husband, and how you speak to your children. The big tzaddikim knew this. It was amazing how they minded their speech, how their speech was refined, like crystal clear water. The closer you come to Kodesh, that is the key. You see yourself as the captain of your life, and that the responsibility lies with you. Reb Nachman Seltzer, in his latest book of short stories, Class Acts on Teachers, has a marvelous story about this idea of what it means for a teacher to take responsibility. We've spoken about negative stories. Let's bring a positive one to balance a bit. There was a little Rebbe of a first grade class, very sweet, sweet class. There was a very sweet little boy in the class. And the boy was a very well-behaved, well, mild-mannered child. And everything was going great until the middle of the year. In the middle of the year, when they started adding on more to davening, tovu, darulam, brachos, in the middle of davening, this kid would act out like you've never seen. He would lash out and kick and scream and bite whoever was near him. It was like wild. And then he would calm down. And this repeated itself one day, 2 days. So the Rebbe called over the boy and said, "You know, something obviously must be bothering you. With something going on at home?" He was trying to figure out, you know, this little sweet boy acting out was so uncharacteristic of him. What was going on? The boy said, "No, everything's great." Third day, same thing happens. Continues. Boy calls the father and says, "I don't know what to do. Your son is like wild during davening." Father says, "If you have to punish my son, you have every right to. I mean, he's your student. You have to be able to discipline him." The Rebbe said, there must be something going on here because this is so not the child. So he decided to sit in the back of the class and watch the dynamics. He said, brachos, right, batovo, don olam, baruch shamar. And he noticed that in baruch shamar, everything was going well till baruch shamar, the kid acted out. And the next day, he sat in the back of the class and watched again. Batovo, brachos, everything was fine. Came to baruch shamar, the kid acted out. And then it hit the Rebbe. The little boy's name was Baruch. And he turned to Baruch and he said to him, "Baruch, when we say Baruch Sha'amar, is there a reason why in Baruch Sha'amar you suddenly become angry?" And the boy said, "Yeah, they keep on mentioning my name. Baruch this, Baruch that, Baruch Sha'amar, Baruch who, Baruch Osa, Baruch Gozer, Baruch Makayim, Baruch, 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 they're just driving me crazy. So many Baruchs, what did I ever do to them?" So then the Rebbe understood that this little boy thought that they were talking and picking on him. And he explained to the little boy, and he explained to the class, that Baruch is a reference to praise the incarnation. Baruch Hu has nothing to do with this little boy. And this boy was fine, and he was fine throughout the rest of the year, understanding what Baruch Shamar was all about. And the Rebbe called the parents and told the father, you know, it was a riddle, and I solved the riddle. It was a Baruch Shamar riddle, and I understood what bothered your son. And this father said to the Rebbe, he says, I'm so blessed to have a Rebbe like you, who really took the time out to understand my son, because my daughter didn't have a teacher like that, and now my daughter's off the derech. And this is what we need to understand, the responsibility of our actions, responsibility of our speech, and the responsibility of taking accountability. As Colvin says, responsibility in the seven habits is responsibility, the ability to respond. But in order, my friends, to have this sense of responsibility, in order to have this sense of being able to respond appropriately, it first and foremost is contingent on knowing ourselves, in being able to understand the way we feel is the appropriate way to respond. How do we get to know ourselves? So Robertson Heller in the Sefer, Let's Face It, 23 notes that self-discovery is the key to facing all of life's challenges, because until we recognize who we are, we cannot possibly know how to properly respond to the challenges that life presents. According to the Torah view, every human being is essentially a soul that is an eternal spiritual entity created in the image of God. The soul descends to the physical plane in order to actualize its potentials through the process of facing and overcoming challenges. The first step in this process is self-definition. And she quotes that classic story of the newly appointed vice president of a company who walks in the first day to his office, you know, touches all the mahogany and looks around, and, you know, his big window overlooking the view of the city and his leather swivel chair. He feels like he's on top of the world, like, you know, he's made it. And as he's sitting there basking in his own glory, there's a knock on the door, but a knock that doesn't reflect the reverence one should have of a newly appointed vice president. And he says, come in. And standing there is a, you know, very plainly clad, dressed man. And he motions to him a moment, and he turns and he takes his fancy phone on his desk, you know, which has more dials than anyone ever really understands why they're there, but that's a separate story. And he picks it up and he says, yes, 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 don't worry, as a senior vice president, I have the ability to authorize this sale. Yes, I'm going to play golf with the president later today. You don't have to worry. I will tell him about this. Yes, yes. And he hangs up. And then he turns to this fellow and says, yes, can I help you? And with a twinkle in his eye, the fellow says, yes, I'm from the phone company. I'm here to connect your phone. When you take a look at a story like this, says Robertson Heller, what are we defined by? The new vice president in the above story looked at his executive office and felt, this is me. Not, these are the surroundings which I prefer, but rather I am defined by these status symbols. To the extent that one's self-definition is external, one's life goals will be external, and only external challenges will be recognized and engaged. The most common result of such external definition is some version of this pathetic vice president. We, my friends, understand that we are here for a much higher calling. We understand that we have challenges that we face in order to refine us as people. And we know that these challenges that we have are part of developing our inner traits to be able to achieve our life mission in this world. Because it is God's will for each of us that we grow spiritually in a particular area, He provides us with repeated tests in that area. So, if you find that homeless beggars are always accosting you, although they seem to leave your best friend alone, you might question if you have an issue with generosity. If every day provides an arena, a stream of anger-provoking incidences, you might question if you need to work on developing patience. after confronting our own identity, after being able to realize what is it that we need to work on, anger, truth, humility, what is kindness, what is the key aspects that we need to work on, the second step is in facing challenges is to recognize which events and situations are sensed as challenges to us. Most of us fail to recognize our challenges because they are camouflaged by the veil of the mundane. We think of challenges as major, major struggles, when really, small things in life, whether to get angry, whether to give this person the $5, to stop and give this person a ride, these are where the challenges come in life. And after truly identifying oneself and recognizing one's challenges, the third essential step in facing challenges is to appreciate the importance of one's responses. Because we tend to trivialize our lives and devalue our actions, we do not invest sufficient effort into improving our performance. And she says, imagine that you're practicing for an audition. So while you're practicing, you may get distracted, you may stop for a break, but now here you are at the audition. The two casting directors are sitting in the darkened theater, each holding a sheaf of paper and pen. 200 other people have tried out for this part. You're standing on the stage delivering your line, and your legs start to itch. Of course you don't scratch it. After all, this is not practice. This is the all-important audition. You are aware of the consequences of your every gesture, of every nuance in tone. One distracted glance of the eyes could make the difference between getting the part or spending the rest of your lives waiting for tables. This counts. Unfortunately, in 27, most of us go through life practicing, especially in our personal lives. How we modulate our voices when we talk to our children, our spouses, our good friends, seem not worthy of our attention. Even if we read 5 psychology books telling us that the result of yelling at our children is to crush their self-esteem and make them both hate themselves and us, it never feels like this particular time, even when, after all, they have terribly provoked us, counts. That's the third step we have to recognize is it as an audition. Although it's true that even if we fail this particular test, there'll be others, that does not lessen the importance of how we respond. The Torah teaches us that our every word and action is recorded, not only by some big hand in the sky, but by our own hand on the parchment of our own soul. We carve our own identity every moment. If I yell at my children, then that's who I am. Even if I fancy myself a tranquil, enlightened parent. If I tell protective lies, then I'm a liar, even if I espouse the great value of honesty. There is no practicing in this world. That's what it means. Bezosia v'aron ala kodesh, with Shabbos you reach Kedusha, with Talmud Torah you reach Kedusha, and by being a captain of your ship, you reach Kedusha as well. You want a smooth sailing life? No one can guarantee you that. But they can guarantee you that you are in control of how you respond to the waters of life, that you can create it as smooth sailing as possible. Everything we say, everything we do, the way we give charity, the way we talk to others, the way all of this has major repercussions. Living life, being an active participant, not acted upon, but I am acting. I am in control. I think about what I will say. I think about what I will do. I think about the ramifications of what will be if I do or if I say. I think about the courses that are open in front of me and which is the most appropriate way to sail. I have that level of tranquility and insight to make these decisions. Then I'm a person who's the captain of my ship. And I'm able to enter into the world of holiness. My friends, if we take this one step further, there's a very beautiful idea Rosfi Meyer-Silverberg brings down in Sichot Yischazkut in 28. He speaks about the pasuk of Ki Mei HaShamayim Al Haaretz, like the days of heaven on earth. And he speaks about that there are really two images that are found for every person. The perfected image that's found in heaven, and the image that we live with on earth. And this image of heaven is the image that Hashem tells our neshama before it's born and walks it through every day of its life when it will be born, showing it this is how you can live. Before every new year, the neshama gets a sense of what its potential is to be able to accomplish. And our job of Ayitzer Elokim that Hashem created in 29 Shtei Yitzuros, two forms. And our job is that the lower form should match the upper form. That's what it means to be written in the book of Tzadikim in 30 Arrow. A tzadik is somebody who is Achid Shmaya Va'ara, who's able to connect heaven and earth together, who's able to live the life that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has envisioned for them on that particular day. This is the idea Rabbi Lef brings down in 38, where the Medrash relates that every person has various names. The one Hashem gives him, that which his parents give him, the name he is called by his friends, and above all, the one he earned for himself. Everyone is endowed with a variety of talents and skills. Some are directly endowed by God, some are the result of heredity and environment. But the most significant of these are those that come by virtue of developing and actualizing one's potential. In this vein, the Medrash says that the angel called out at the Akedah, at the binding of Isaac, the Kriyas HaTorah read on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, Avraham, Avraham. And this is something we should be thinking about perhaps during Kriyas HaTorah. The Avraham of above has met the Avraham of below. That Avraham Avinu has been able to live up to the image and potential that Hashem has envisioned for him. At that point, Avram's heavenly name, which reflected his true potential, was realized and matched by his actual stature here on earth. The Gemara says that prior to death, the Neshama gives a scream that is heard from one end of the world to the other. Rechaim Volozhin explains that before one passes from his world, Hashem shows him a picture of what he could have been had he developed all his potential, and contrast it to what he actually achieved. When the Neshama sees a chasm between these two images, it screams. Talents, abilities, capabilities are points of potential. But if they remain and end in themselves, they are insignificant points. The Neshama cries for the failure of these points to go and traverse entire worlds. And this is the first step of tshuva, as Rav Pam brings down in 39, based on Rabbeinu Yonah. A person has to know their unique potential for greatness. We have to know what we've been given as a divine gift. And then we have to realize that every day of our lives, we have this challenge of being able to live up to the perfected self that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has envisioned for each and every one of us. And that, my friends, is really the great challenge. When we understand that we recognize who we are, we understand that this is not an audition, that this is real. We understand that it's not just that it's real, we understand that in some mystical, philosophical, metaphysical world, that perfected self exists, that vision of the perfected self exists. And our job is not to create something new. Our job is to be able to tap into what is there inherently, to be able to live with this reality of I can reach this. This is who I can and should be. We have to look within ourselves. We have to be able to draw inspiration from ourselves of what is the response that that heavenly image has of us right now. You know, just to bring this a little bit down into simpler English, Rashi Meir elsewhere gives the following example. He says, imagine, God, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, comes to you one night in a dream, and he says to you, let's call her Sarala. Sarala, let me tell you. Sarala, you need to work on patience. You're in this world, I put you here, you're in a neshama, to work on the meat of patience. Sarala, I'm going to tell you three things that are going to happen to you tomorrow that are going to test your patience. And I'm going to tell you, Sarala, exactly what time these things are going to happen, what's going to happen. And when you respond appropriately by not getting angry, and you respond with what we will call here your higher self, that brings you into a higher notch into Gan Eden. That perfects your soul on a higher notch. Okay, Sutherland, so far you with me? Yes. Okay, so let me tell you. I'll give you two of the, I'm going to share with you two of the examples that Shep shares with her. At 10:30 in the morning, you're going to be on the Erev Yontif line for shopping. And it is going to be extraordinarily busy and crowded. And you're going to be hot, and your kids are going to be cranky. And there's going to be a long line. And every single person on the line that you are on is going to have a check that is going to have a problem. One, the signature is no good. One, there's not enough money in the account. Everyone's going to have a problem. And I want you, Sarla, to stay on this line to be able to entertain your children in this hot store with everyone screaming and pushing it, right? And you're going to go through these five or six people, whatever it is, all with a problem check, and you're going to stand there with a smile and not be frustrated. Okay, Sarla, that's going to happen at 10:30. Okay, Sarla, and then, you know, whatever it's going to be, at 5:30 in the afternoon, you're just going to wash your floor, and Maishi is going to take out the orange juice, and he's going to pour it over, you know, let's say it's Erev Shabbos, he's going to pour it over the newly shtifad floor, wash floor for Shabbos, on his iron shirt, and it's 5 minutes to lich, and you're going to say, Maishi, I'm so sorry that the juice missed the cup, let's clean it up. And you're going to show tremendous patience. And this is going to bring you to a higher level. And then Kadosh Baruch Hu wishes Sarla sweet dreams and good night. Sarla wakes up the next morning, and sure enough, 10:30, she's in the store. And guess what? It's exactly the way Hashem described it. It's crowded, it's pushy, it's a line. And guess what? Every single person has a problem to check. Now what does Sarla do? She stands there and smiles and says, keep on going, another check. Good, another check. That's bouncy. That's great. I'm so happy to be standing here working on my patience. I'm developing myself. This is amazing. 5:30, sure enough, Maishi goes, takes that cup of juice, spills it up. Oh, Maishi, thank you. You've given me another opportunity to go higher up in the development of my soul, of my higher soul. Here I have been able to work on my patience. Now, why is it so easy for Sarla to deal with the store and to deal in Maishi when she knows about it in advance? But while she doesn't know it in advance, she's like, oh, why can't anyone have a check that works in it? Why is that the store so crowded? And why does he have to get the juice out of Shabbos on my shirt? And we go crazy. Because we forget that we're the captain of the ship. We forget why we're here in life. We respond on a knee-jerk reaction that we forget that we're here to develop our higher selves. We forget that we're here to work on our character traits. We forget that this is not an audition. So that when we are challenged to the challenges of life and we have a little bit of Elo left in front of us, this is what we need to be thinking about. That when situations come in front of us that annoy us, that aggravate us, that make us angry, etc., ask ourselves, what is the higher self would say here? What does the lower self want to say? How can I move my lower self to my higher self? And oftentimes it's just about stepping back and realizing there's a lower self and a higher self that's enough to be able to pull ourselves together and say, oh, this is what Hashem had exactly in mind for me, tailor-made, that I can become the best I can be. And with this, my friends, we can understand what we began with. Avay Chodesh Elul is the Ir Miklat, is the city of refuge. If you would tell a person that they are a rotzeach, that they're a murderer, they'd say, me, God forbid, I've never murdered anybody. I haven't even killed a fly. I promise you, I haven't killed any animal, right? Little ants, like I tippy-toe around my sidewalks. I never kill anybody. Me, a rotzeach, me, a murderer, what are you talking about? And the answer is, my friends, that we are involved in killing the most deepest and most personal part of ourselves every single day. When we don't respond to that higher self, when we don't respond to the Avram Avraham, the Sarala Sarala, when the higher soul doesn't meet the lower soul, when I don't live up to that potential that's inherent within me, I've to some degree killed an aspect of myself. The Ir Miklat of Elul is the ability for a month, a year, Halavai Vaita, to go continue, to be able to focus in on, who am I? What is the correct response? To, if almost slow down and put myself and slow-mowed the entire month of Elul to think. What opportunities am I killing? Which part of self am I killing? And this is the idea that the Sfasema speaks about in 42, of the Kriyuch Siv of Lo Lo Anachdo in the 100th Kapitul Telem, of I am nothing and I belong to you, God. It's written low with an Aleph and we read it low with a Vav. It's as if we say to Hashem all year round, Lo Anachdo, this is not us. But in Elul, Lo Anachnu with a Vav, this is who I really am. Elul gives a sense. Ach ein zem a reklama utenu pnimutenu zeloim alef. But rather, all year, this is not who I am. Let me give you a sense, Hashem, of who I really am. And that is Elul. Elul's acting for my higher self. Elul's acting from the core me. Let's summarize what we've seen, my friends, and end with one final idea. Bezos Yavo Aaron El HaKodesh, with this Aaron enters into the Kodesh, obviously, with the service, with the incense, technically. How do we enter into the Kodesh? How do we enter into a month of Elul, which is a month of the kings in the field? How do we access this Kedusha, this holiness that's found in the world? Shabbos. Likra Shabbos l'chu v'neucha, ki mekor habracha, bringing in Shabbos early. Bringing in Shabbos early has tremendous schoolos attached to it. Bringing in extra kedusha, extra bracha into one's home. We all look for schoolos, for parnasa, for children, for shalom bayis. This is the greatest schoola to be able to bring in Shabbos early. V'zos yavo aron el hakodesh, limud Torah. Adding a few minutes of Limud Torah a day, a halacha a day, no matter how busy. We have a chiyuv la'asot b'divrei Torah. We have a chiyuv to know. How can I raise a family if I don't know what I'm doing? Learn halacha, learn musar, learn machshava, learn. If you don't know what to learn, ask a friend, ask a rebbetzin, ask, learn. The zelz yavo aron el kodesh, Rabbi Yochanan, being a captain. Being a captain enters into the kodesh, exactly. Because being a captain means taking responsibility. It means being able to make decisions in life. It means being able to live up to the consequences of those decisions. It means being able to think about what you are doing and the consequences of what you say and what you do. It means, like Rav Simcha Zissel, that you talk about chickens and milk to show a karas hatov, gratitude for this woman who has taken you in. It means that you have basic menschlichkeit and derech eretz. It means that you have that sensitivity of not calling a kid a dummy. It means that if your best friend has just bought a beautiful apartment and she invites you in and you say, oh, this is the best you can find? Hello! Sensitivity. Think before you say. Think before you ask personal questions. You don't know how those questions are going to affect the person you're listening to. And the examples are too many to even mention. We all have experienced times where people have asked us things that have really hurt, but we pretend, you know, just to go on. But afterwards, we're really suffering from them. Had they just thought, things would be a little bit different. To be the captain of your ship means self-discovery. It means knowing who you are. And being able to come from a place of knowing that these are my challenges in life. And that this is not an audition. And that if I have to work on patience, that Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to tailor make many, many challenging situations of patience. Many challenging situations in anger. Many challenging situations in generosity. Many challenging situations in truth. Whatever are the mitos that I'm here to work on. To be able to have a sense of what keeps on following me in my life. And then I have to ask myself, the higher will and the lower will. If Hashem had come to me the night before, I would be dancing. Wow, another opportunity of, you know, perfecting myself. Why don't I have this attitude? I need to be responsibility, the ability to respond. With this in mind, that we need to take responsibility for who and what we are, we can take this one step further as our last final idea. We need to take responsibility for what we do, that we have to realize that when we're doing something, it has to be with the entirety of our being. As we've spoken about many times, Rachmana Liba Bai, it's not enough that we come to the Yom HaDin to be able to say to Hashem, look at all the good things I've done. But the question is, where am I in what I have done? Have I put myself, am I a captain, not only in my nidos, but am I a captain in my Asiyas HaMitzvot? Do I recognize that when I do a mitzvah, it's a savta, it's a connection with Hashem? As Rav Volbe speaks about at the end of 43 in Ali Shura Chelek Beit, you can imagine a person coming to Shemayim and Hashem asking them, what were you thinking of when you did this mitzvah? I don't know. Why'd you do it? My mother taught me. My friends were doing it. Social pressure. But where were you? And he says, we've seen this speech so many times. Where is your thinking? Where's your independence in terms of where are you in what you are doing? Because we have to understand as a Gedolei Musar, Rav Gedalia Eisman points out in 44, Iker Havodi Lavir Targasha Klalit of the Mishpah, that's not just a general being judged, but each and every one of us is being judged. And as he continues in 45, look at ourselves. How much of what we do really is about me? Or how much of what we do is just influence and copycatting others? Am I really thinking about the bracha when I say it? Am I a captain of the ship that I am thinking about? That when I'm crossing this old lady across the street, this is a mitzvah that Hashem has commanded me, and I'm coming closer to a Kadosh Baruch Hu because I've done this mitzvah? Do I have an understanding when I'm davening, I'm talking to Ribono Shalom? Being a captain of the ship is not only in life, it's also very much though in our avodas Hashem, of being involved. It's being at the steering, being able to say, I am present. When I did this mitzvah, I recognize that a mitzvah means that Hashem commanded me. And I'd like to end with a gevaldik vort of Rav Chaskel Abramsky that the Gedulei Musar brings in the footnote of 46. He says that Bezos Yavo Aaron al HaKodesh, Aaron goes to the mikvah, gets into his white clothes, enters into the Kodesh Kedoshim to bring this incense offering. And then we know the Kohen Gadol, the high priest, goes to many different services during the day. At the end of the day, he once again, one of the final immersions, toward the end of the, he immerses once again, goes into his white clothes before the grand finale immersion into his gold clothes, and he enters into the Kodesh Kedoshim one more time. And he enters in, not to bring the incense, but to take out the empty frying pan and the empty shovel. Ras, Rav Yecheskel Abramsky from London, based in, very, very important question. For this, the Kohen Gadol enters into the Kodesh HaKadoshim again to get empty frying pan and shovel. I mean, this is, you know, to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Holy of Holies, it has to be an important service. What service is to take out the empty utensils? And he says, such an important yesod. He says, because emptiness and holiness do not work hand in hand. Taking out the empty utensils is one of the greatest avodos, the greatest services you can imagine. Because you can't live a life of emptiness. When we're talking about Kedusha, we're talking about holiness, we're talking about people who have forethought, people who invest, people who are full, people who are taking the steering in hand. Taking out the emptiness is our avoda. Bezos yavo Aaron el HaKodesh. With this, Aaron comes into Kedusha. Part of the service of entering into Kedusha is to ensure that we don't have a life of emptiness. You can't have empty vessels staying in holiness. We can't be empty vessels. We can't just go with the flow and do what everyone else is doing. And say, oh, I don't know why I'm doing this. Everyone's doing this. Everyone's, you know. No, where are you? Where are you in doing and making decisions of what is appropriate to do, what's inappropriate to do? To have the excuse, well, everyone did it. That's why I'm doing it. Everyone dresses this way. That's why I'm dressing this way. Everyone eats it. Why should I eat it? That doesn't work. That doesn't go hand in hand with Kodesh. Kodesh is about thought. Is it kosher? Is it not? Is it sneas? Is it not? Is it appropriate to watch this or is it inappropriate? Is it appropriate to read this or is it inappropriate? It's irrelevant if everyone around me is doing this. That lacks the sense of independence in the highest sense of I am the captain of the ship and I have to make decisions that are best for me and for my family. And I like to conclude with a maestro. I was once on a plane many years ago, before you have those, you know, screens by your seat. Some of you may recall the big screens on the wall. Some planes still have them. And I remember being on a plane that was, I believe, course country. So it's like a 5-6 hour flight. And they put on a film that was inappropriate for children to watch. And one man stood up there and he said, I would like this taken off because I have children on the plane. And there was a whole to-do. Well, you know, we have a right to watch it. And he stood up there with full body in front of the screen and said, I cannot let my children watch this. You need to take this off. That is a person who's able to stand up and say, I am a captain of my ship. I am responsible for my children. I am responsible for their moral well-being. That is the model that we need. That is the way we are going to live a life of Kedusha, of thinking, of acting, of being independent in the most positive sense, that I'm able to stand by what I have done, take responsibility for what I've done, and in so doing, being able to have that deeper connection between me and my speech and my action, that I'm more of an integrated person. And when I've reached this level of integration, I've reached this higher level of Kedusha. May we all be Zoche to be able to enter into different aspects of the Kodesh, bringing Shabbos Kodesh earlier, by learning a little bit of Halacha or Musar every day, and being able to take that responsibility of being the captain of our ship, of our ability to connect with the Kodesh Baruch Hu and why he put me in this world.